I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is Merrick Larwood.
Hello, film listeners, if anyone is actually listening to this bloody thing. Oh, guess what?
What? Hang on, what? That's not a segue.
There's someone...
someone's saying,
oh good, he's getting straight to the action. There's someone else sitting in this room. Is it a ghost?
Could be.
Or is it... Danielle Ward.
Hello.
It's Danielle Ward, former host of Film Fandango.
Former living human being, now ghost.
Now ghost. What are you doing haunting this room?
I live here.
Good. Welcome back.
Thanks.
How's your life been watching films since you were last on?
I haven't been to the cinema for a very long time, and it's great. Fucking brilliant.
What do you mean, brilliant?
I've not had to go to the cinema every week to watch some pile of dog shit film.
I've been really enjoying going to cinema lately, and my local cinema, Crouch and Art House, got voted the best cinema in the whole of London.
By whom?
I don't know, some arty
By you?
Well, I've given up dairy, so my one pleasure in life, which was a yog from Camden Odeon, can't even have that anymore.
So there's no point going to the Odeon.
No point going to the cinema anymore.
If you can't have a yog.
I don't think you should be allowed on this podcast.
Haven't seen any films. Now, Danielle and I both saw a film recently
Was it a date?
No, it would be a terrible date movie.
Okay.
Absolutely abysmal.
Because it's a terrible movie.
But, I mean, it...
I chose it. It looked really good. It came up on Blinkbox and it said, comedy horror about some guys that have to go and stormtroop an asylum.
And it's from 2014, so we're like, okay, interesting. This one seems to have passed us by, but it's on Blinkbox, so why not? Let's have a look. It's called Asylum, and... it is possibly the most bizarre film
I've ever
seen in my life.
What happens? Is it English? And then what is the basic plot of it?
Okay, do you want to take this?
So what it is, and you need the context. So if you just started watching it, you knew nothing about it. It opens with a priest who is a bit demonic, comes out of his thingy box, his priest box, sets on fire.
Priest box.
And then... Two editors look at the screen going, well, how are we going to make a film out of this? This is rubbish.
Meta.
A bit, right at the beginning, if you give it any, faith in its abilities, it's a bit Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, so you sort of think, oh, okay, I get it. It's going to be like kind of two things going on at once, which it is technically. And then it turns into something like a mystery science... what is it called? Mystery Science Fiction?
Mystery theater, Science
theater. Theater 3000. It's like that. So these guys are talking over it like a director's commentary, talking over this film with the priest in his box that comes out. And then... so there's a film going on about some stormtrooper-type people in Bulgaria, but it's not
SWAT
called that...
team.
A SWAT team in Bulvania, because they don't actually use the term Bulgaria. Going into this asylum, which is now haunted, and all the inmates have turned into sort of zombie creatures.
Oh, shit.
While at the same time, these two guys are commentating over the top, but obviously not improvising. It's obviously scripted. And then occasionally it cuts to behind the scenes of the film.
It's utterly weird. Because
it's just terrible.
The film itself is not intrinsically funny, or, bad enough to warrant it being a comedy. So something is deeply, deeply weird. It stars, the actual film they're commenting on stars Stephen Rea from The Crying Game.
What's he doing in this?
What's even better, Marek, is the film hasn't been processed properly, the film that they're watching. Okay. So there are bits where, like, VFX eyes glow comes across on the bottom of the screen.
Text, because they've yet to put the effects on
so
it.
So they haven't even finished the film that they're watching.
It sounds like something's gone wrong and they've tried to make a film.
This was it. We did a lot of Googling because it's a fascinating watch.
While were you watching? Because you were so bored?
No, afterwards, actually. Okay. And there's no reviews online, really.
On IMDb, it's just called Asylum, and it's the film that there's no mention of this
meta commentary or anything. But we managed to track down the writer on his own podcast. He's American, and he has a Film Fandango style podcast where he talks to his friend about movies.
They
sound like arseholes.
Complete dicks.
I bet it's better than our podcast, though.
But on that on that show, their guest happens to be Dean Haglund, who was one of the regular characters in the X-Files, but he plays the producer in the meta bits.
He's better than our podcast.
I've met him, he guested on my improv show in The Fringe once. He's a nice guy.
Okay.
But, and they talk through their experiences in the whole thing, and our guess was exactly right. But even worse, this guy had written this screenplay called Asylum, and it had been bought and it was being made. And then he heard nothing from them, and then got a phone call from the producers saying, something's happened. Our producer has gone to Bulgaria with the crew and everything and gone rogue. And
what?
He's just thrown
the script out, reshot it completely, spent all the money, and come back with this piece of shit film we can't use.
Wow.
But they then said...
And my first question would be, am I still getting paid?
Well, that is...
Oh, okay.
And so, but they then come to him and say...
It wasn't made by Avalon.
So we want you now to turn it into a comedy.
Oh, my God.
And so, having all the footage and with no money left, basically, he had to try and turn it into a different genre movie with no money to film anything new at all.
Why did they not film a documentary about this? That would have been more interesting than the
Exactly, because
it's not funny enough.
Sadly, the finished result, as noble and as brave a move as it is a total failure.
Which bit is Stephen Rea in? Is he in the?
He's in the actual film. Filmed in Bulgaria with this rogue producer.
If you look it up on IMDb, you'll see.
I've got it
the
now.
Synopsis for this film that is the film within the film.
Here's the synopsis: is a veteran hostage negotiated next call leads him to an overrun insane asylum. He soon finds that dark forces are pushing the patients to commit atrocities, and he may be the only one that can stop them. 118 people have rated this film. It's got an average of 3.6.
That's good.
Bad. That is very bad.
That's higher than you'd imagine.
It is higher than you'd imagine. But that isn't the plot, because
the actual plot is
two film editors sit down and watch a screening of a film and talk about it. Because you can't really follow the film because they're talking over the top of all the dialogue.
And also the film doesn't make sense. I mean, the only good thing about the film is occasionally when there's zombies hanging from the ceiling, you can still see the strap wire.
There's a text along the bottom that says remove wire.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the most amazing car crash
Did
of a film.
Did you enjoy watching?
No. In no
awful.
Way. It is intolerable as a watch.
Have you ever picked a random film you've not heard anything about and it been good?
Yes.
Examples?
I think Small Apartments was one of that, with the Matt Lucas film I watched and knew nothing about it. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
And
you?
Human Centipede. Yes, you hated it, but The Strange Colour of My Body's Tears I really liked.
Really?
Strange colour of my body. I made a joke about something being on the period, didn't I?
Yeah, you probably did. Yeah.
I like that. I think it's a really beautiful film. Though, actually, I'd seen a trailer for it at the Soho.
So it was a lie.
So it's a lie, yeah. I didn't. That wasn't out of nowhere. Dogtooth.
That sounds familiar.
It's a Greek film. I think it's on Netflix, or it was when I watched it. It's a Greek film about two girls who are kept in their house by their parents. They're not allowed out. They're like house cats, only girls. And the parents teach them the wrong word for things. And it's very weird, really weird, but it's great.
Oh, okay, good. Dog too.
Yeah, the wrong word.
I mean, there's also some incest and some other things.
Can I have a possum of vagina, please? I think he means a cup of tea.
Is that?
No, he doesn't. yeah, but okay. Well, yeah. So there's not much more to say about Asylum, really, other than
good try, lads.
You know what? It's a worse film than The Room because The Room is actually thoroughly enjoyable. But technically, this is even a worse film because it is, you know. Fair play to the poor writer who's had this the rushes come back and there isn't a single line of dialogue from his original screenplay in it, and then he's been told to turn it into a different genre. Like, it's, but sadly it's a failure, but it's a noble failure. I'd say
this worries me about Blink Box 8. You had to put, you were, well, so short films, oh, you had to watch it. That,
well, that's an interesting topic. I think that now we have digital streaming and technically it costs nothing to have your film on that same service alongside X-Men or whatever, is, will the quality of movies start to dive and therefore people will take fewer risks?
Like, how much was it?
It was $3.49, so it was a normal standard Blink Box rental price.
And it was clearly, they just bought a batch load of films that cost nothing and, I mean, put them all up there.
It's terrible. Like, it shouldn't, you shouldn't have to pay for it. It shouldn't be released. It should be thrown in a bin.
It hasn't been released in America. This is what was fascinating for the podcast as well. The writer who I'm talking about still hasn't seen it.
Wow. Because he needs to get Blink Box.
And he was asking his listeners if they can get hold of it anywhere because you can't in America. I mean, that's how, you know, maligned this movie is. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. It's a fascinating little story, and I recommend tracking down that podcast.
If you're a filmmaker, it would be interesting to watch. If you're someone who just likes watching films, don't bother. Like, it's only as an academic watch, it's even worth doing.
So how many Davies and Danielles do you give it?
One.
One?
Yeah.
I give it a quarter of a Danielle.
Holy. That's just a fingernail.
I feel sorry for Stephen Rear as well, because he actually, his performance is very good in a film that doesn't make sense. But then you've got these other guys trying to blame him and the rest of the cast for being awful because they've tried to crowbar a comedy script in it. So they're taking the piss out of him, and it's like, without his consent or anything, it's all grim.
I always wish that Stephen Rear's name was short for Diarrhea and he'd change it. Oh, it's not even a good joke, but I want to say it now, just once.
Sure.
Tweet, because I, listeners, I came round late, so, and Danielle has got an important appointment, so maybe we should read the letters at the end so we can talk about the film Danielle's brought in.
Okay, yeah.
That's my, it's my fault.
Of course, all that's right. Fine.
So I know people, if there's anyone who's severely autistic is listening, and all of it's been changed, and this is really going to cause them to sort of smash some windows and kill someone. I'm sorry.
Or we just record the letters at the end, and I'll edit them into the middle.
No, then this explanation's got to go in as well. Yeah.
Okay, you're right. This is vital time we need. Okay, so, Danielle, we asked you to bring in a film.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, what have you brought in previously?
Do you remember? Previously, I brought in, what did I do last time?
Maniac.
No, I didn't make you watch Maniac, though, did I? That was just one that I went
it
to
was
see.
A Nicolas Cage one, wasn't it?
Was it?
The Bird of Vampires...
Vampire's Kiss,
that was me. Oh, my God, there's a theme. I only ever keep vampire films.
There you go. Okay, well, what have you brought this time?
Twilight.
No.
Fright Night.
Fright Night.
Which version?
The original 1985 version, not the one with David Tennant.
Do you want to tell us what Fright Night is?
Fright Night is... Right, I'll tell you why I picked Fright Night. Because it's on the internet, so we could all watch it. Also, it's one of those films I saw years and years ago and remember enjoying. I remember absolutely nothing about it. But it's, like, it's a cult 80s film that seems to have missed most people. Like, I think in America it's held up alongside things like... I mean, for me, it's like a cross between Back to the Future and Robocop in terms of tone. and it sort of sits among those 80s classics. And over here in the UK, I don't think we kind of... like no one's, none of you, neither are you two.
Well, I said to you before, I've almost watched it so many times. You know, when you used to go to the video shop. I mean, we had those when I was a kid, a few young people, and the cover is this house with a scary cloud above it.
Yeah.
And that sort of put me off because I thought it was a horror film or some weird... It felt like it was a bit like The Living... Not a Living Dead horror.
It's more Evil Dead,
Evil
though,
Dead,
isn't it?
Evil Dead, man. Yeah, a bit like that.
But it's, I think tonally, it's a bit more like sort of Gremlins. Weird Science or one of those. It's very, very 80s.
I'm surprised it didn't sit in that thing because I thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, what happens in it?
Right, there's a high school kid and he loves this, watching this programme called Fright Night, which is presented by the vampire hunter Peter Vincent, whose name is a cross between Vincent Price Cushing. And Peter Cushing, and he's a Van Helsing type figure, but he also presents it, and this boy loves it, and then this boy realises that his next door neighbour is a bloody vampire, and so he goes and gets this Van Helsing type figure to come and kill the vampire who lives next door, and obviously this guy is just an actor, and so the actor guy is like, I'm just an actor, and no one believes that there's a vampire next door because that would be crazy, and then turns out there is a vampire next door.
Oh no.
And the vampire is played by, what's his first name,
Chris
Sarandon.
Is he related to Susan?
He's he put his willy in her
first husband. That's where she gets her name from.
Really?
Yes, he is, for our listeners who don't know him, Prince Humperdinck from The Princess Bride, or the non-singing voice of Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas. He's excellent, I think. He's really good baddie.
The whole film is great. So it's like a kind of... It's a bit too scary to be a sort of teen high school romp, but it's not properly scary either. But the thing that is incredible about it are the special effects. The special effects are wonderful.
It's that time where around 1985, it's sort of a bit similar to American Werewolf and The Thing.
Yes.
Not as good as those two, because
but such a mix of just makeup and animatronics and stop motion animation and all sorts of things. When they were, combining them all to get these effects.
If you love the 80s, it makes you feel really nostalgic. It's got that innocence. And the lead guy is really sort of... You've got
he's really boy next door, isn't he? Yeah. He's properly like Billy from Gremlins, isn't he?
I'm surprised he wasn't... And there's a sort of girlfriend love interest, and there's a weird psychic bloke who I read up on. Have you heard about him, the old psychic bloke?
No, who's the sidekick?
What weird psychic bloke?
Sidekick, his friend.
Oh, sidekick. Yeah.
Oh, Evil Ed?
Yeah.
No, what happened to him?
I was reading people's biographies while I was watching it. He became a hardcore gay porn star in the 1990s. No.
Wow.
Wow.
So if you can watch... I clicked on their IMDb things to find out what they're all doing. I'm looking down at his films... Buff and Gay, Butt Blazer, Cockpit, Motel Sex, Transsexual Prostitutes, Leather Intrusion Case 4, Down to the Wire.
Intrusion?
There are a few of his.
Didn't the same thing happen to Jeff Conway?
I don't know.
Who's
there are
Jeff
a few
Conway?
Of his later films.
Jeff Conway was Knicky in Grease. I'm sure he became a porn actor.
I'll look him up as well. I saw his IMDb thing. I thought this is odd. Anyway, we shouldn't take away from it. It's a brilliant film. Very funny.
Roddy McDowell is the Vincent...
Peter Vincent. It was originally offered to Vincent Price, but sadly he was too old.
No.
And also was trying not to do horror things when he was a bit more poorly towards the end of his life. But he's fantastic.
He's pretty good. There's this one bit where a wolf dies, and the range of emotions on... The thing that makes Roddy McDowell, Peter Vincent's character, so great... is that he looks as you imagine you would look if you saw these things. First of all, like, obviously this is made up, and then goes from genuine inquisition into what's happening, and then a bit of confusion, and then fear, and then horror, and then sadness, all in one scene. It's incredible.
That is hard face acting.
Hard face acting.
Oh, that's, mate, it's some real good face acting.
I'm just looking up Knicky to see if he's got any odd films on his, hasn't got any cockpit films on. Oh, he has actually got looking at Knicky's IMDb, he's Almost Pregnant on there.
Almost Pregnant.
Bikini Summer.
That could go either way, couldn't it?
Bikini Summer 2.
Maybe he just did softcore.
Maybe. I mean, the sad thing about him is he was the original Danny in the stage version and then got bumped to Kinnicky for the star John Travolta in the film version. How different things could have been.
Life's pretty difficult sometimes.
It is, isn't it? The lead role in Fright Night was offered to, or rather, they were the favourite for it was Charlie Sheen for A Good Old Time.
Really?
But the director decided against him because he has a heroic look, did when he was younger, and he didn't want somebody who was naturally a hero. He wanted the guy next door who steps up.
He's very similar to the bloke in more comedy version of the bloke in Gremlins.
Yes,
he's sort of just in between, isn't he? He's like less. The Gremlins lead guy's really geeky.
What happened to him? Did he do porn?
I don't know. He probably did gardening.
And tell everybody about what you read about your bit of trivia about Chris Sarandon saying that he wanted the vampire to be.
Yeah.
This is great.
This is great. Apparently, there's a piece of the plot where it turns out that the girl looks a lot like the woman who the vampire used to be in love with from the past. And in the trivia, it says Chris Sarandon added this to the story. He made this up in order to give his character more backstory rather than him just being pure evil. He didn't make that up. That's from Dracula.
Yeah, yeah.
But it says, yeah, he's claimed he wrote that.
They might as well just put Chris Sarandon as a bellend.
Or a liar. Chris is a liar.
Did you find Merrick, you know when the girlfriend becomes a bit vampire at the end?
Yes.
Did you find her mouth really frightening?
I was surprised how good the special effects were.
Yeah.
Because you think it's quite a sort of cheesy 80s thing. And the special effects are amazing. And I recognised her face.
Yeah.
Having not seen the film. From classic horror movie pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was the poster as well.
Is that? That's her face. But in the
also, curtain. Apparently, little bit peeking behind the curtain, when she becomes sexy vamp towards the end in her sort of skimpy negligee, that's a fake boobs she's wearing so that they can be more prominent. And she apparently used to take them to comic cons and things for people to touch.
The special effects are very Raiders, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's that same era, isn't it?
Yeah,
that
there's a lovely... Very melty,
melty wax things and then reverse the film sort of feel to
and
a
even
lot of it.
Sand. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if you're avoiding Fright Night, like I have, thinking, oh, I can't bother to watch that, watch it. It's a real treat. And thank you, Danielle. It's a real treat.
You're going to slag me off as soon as I leave, aren't you? You're going to slag me and the film.
I hate her. This is the first time we've had that sort of mid podcast departure, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's my fault.
Well, thank you for bringing Fright Night in.
That's okay.
Sorry, it's had to be a short one.
Can I plug things?
Of course. What would you like to plug?
Well, I've got a new gig starting on the 5th of January with me and Martin called Warden White's Fun House. And that's in London. And also, I'm doing my sexy character called Danny Frankenstein. I got the name of Chris Sarandon. He just made it up. can you think of a surname for me? How about Frankenstein? I was like, that's really good. My character, Danny Frankenstein, I'm doing the Vault Festival in February. Buy tickets now. They're really cheap now.
That's good. And you do another podcast, don't you? Do the right thing, yeah.
But that's not out... Well, that'll be at the same sort of time. January, February? I don't know. Our producer is very slack.
Slack him.
As is his wife's vagina. She just had a baby.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Right, okay.
You don't know what to do with that information. I know a woman I've not met's vagina is slack. That's
sorry,
all
sorry, Ben.
All right. Well, goodbye, Danielle. Well,
and let's go to the letters section. Here's a letter. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, okay.
It's from Martin Appleyard. He's written in before, isn't he?
Yeah. Okay.
Martin Appleyard. So someone who...
Friend of the show, Martin Appleyard.
Someone who owns a cider brewery. Cornish.
He says, if read this out, can it be done in a Proclaimers style Scottish accent?
Oh, okay. Well,
what's a Proclaimers Scottish accent?
Sort of slightly more whiny Scottish.
When you go, will you send bark? Bark. They say bark.
No more. What is it?
No more.
Something no more.
More. Sky no more. That's it, isn't it?
That's it. That one.
Dear Film Fandango, the film podcast, I have just watched Sunshine on Leith. He says Lay, but I'm sure it's Leith.
Well, okay.
The film's called Sunshine on Leith.
Yeah, I think
right?
It's a typo with a G and a T, maybe.
Right. But he says it every time.
Okay.
Maybe it's a different film. Anyway.
Dear Film Fandango, the film podcast, I've just watched Sunshine on Leith. I am not a fan of musicals, or the Proclaimers, or the Scottish, but I bloody love this film. I had a smile on my face all the way, whole running time, and even shed a joyful tear at the oh-so-cheesy ending. My problem is this. Once you enjoy a film like this, you want to tell others about it. And if it's not a well-known film, you have to explain what it's about to the people you're trying to persuade. With this film, this is how my conversation goes. Me. Hey, have you seen that film, Sunshine on Leith? It's really good. Friend, no, what's it about? Me, it's a musical done a bit like that Mamma Mia film, but set in Scotland, and instead of ABBA songs, they're all by the Proclaimers. Friend, don't think I'll bother, mate. Have you ever had a film that you really liked, but found it difficult to explain the plot to someone else without it sounding like a big pile of shite? Keep watching the films, Martin Appleyard. No more.
I poured a coffee in the background to that during the dialogue with his friend, so it did seem more realistic.
Oh, good, good. Ever had to try and explain a film to someone and it?
Well, I've got two things here.
Right.
First of all, I think I went to see Mamma Mia musical because my mum wanted to come.
Oh yeah,
see
accidentally,
it.
Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. My mum wanted to come and see it, and my mum was talking. My mum does talk quite a lot.
During musicals?
No, just in real life.
Okay.
And I was on the phone to her and she said, I want to go and... I said, "What? I'll treat you to a musical for your birthday.
Yeah.
What do you want to come and see?" And so I forgot to listen to when she was coming up to watch the musical. So I booked the tickets and I booked it for the wrong day.
So you have to go on
it
your own.
Before. So I went with a friend to watch Mamma Mia. It is the worst thing I've ever seen on stage. It's just like watching...
How many musicals have you seen?
Aunts. I've seen quite a few. I think I didn't mind Chicago. I really liked the one with the puppets in the street one. That was
Shrek?
Not Shrek
the musical.
No, I can't remember what it was called. I don't mind musicals. Starlight Express, I saw that when I was young.
I've never seen Mamma Mia. I haven't seen the film.
Awful.
So.
Anyway, so anything, by comparing a film to say it's a bit like Mamma Mia, but set in Scotland. That the problem is his description.
It is.
And you've put, instead of ABBA songs, you've got songs by Proclaimers.
But people do have a prejudice about the Proclaimers of thinking they're a one-hit wonder band who aren't worth listening to, and they've actually got a lot of good songs. I saw the Proclaimers at Glastonbury, and I felt ashamed to be English that day, because they played 500 Miles about four songs into their set.
Yeah.
And as soon as they had done, the tent emptied. And they had their entire set still to go. And
really?
It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, they did another one that was...
Letters from America.
King of the Road as well.
They did loads
of
good songs.
Though.
I think they're a good band. They should, to be honest, they probably should have played 500 Miles last. They should have probably known
but
that would happen.
A long walk back to the old trailer. Okay, any films trouble explaining? I think if you're a regular to this podcast,
yeah,
you'll probably be saying, shouting at this podcast, well, Merrick has a problem describing most films. So I can't really answer that question fairly.
Okay, try and... Here's a different game, though. Try and describe easy-to-describe films as complicatedly as you can, in as unappealing way as you can. So, for instance, can you explain Jaws to me so that I won't want to see it?
The tourist industry, it's a problem with the tourist industry.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tourists aren't going into the beach because the problem was something in the water. So it's affecting tourism and they employ some guy to try and get rid of it so that the island can still be successful for summer holidays.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. You're absolutely right.
Just don't mention the shark. I mean, the problem is, everyone wants to watch the film. As soon as you put shark in it, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And if you say massive shark, you go, well, definitely.
Yeah, that sounds good then. Yeah. Have you seen the trailer for Jurassic World?
No, I've heard about this. A lot of people are posting. I don't know, watching trailers. I think there's that debate. I was reading an article about people saying that trailers showing too much these days.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I genuinely think that trailers should come with a spoiler warning, like a certificate before they start.
Something ridiculous. I mean, Interstellar, it's... You watch the trailer for that even, and you... Sorry, if it's just like a trailer. It's in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. But you think, all right, he's going to go into space. He's going to be doing this. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anything. The problem is you go to cinema, you think, oh, now I know that stuff, and I've got to go and see it next week.
Yeah. I think they should budget, especially in big films where they've got money coming out their ears, for shots they're going to use for the trailer that will give you a sense of the sort of thing that will be happening, but without plot-specific things happening. So almost like a sort of motif montage of this film rather than actual scenes. Because I've got the sort of brain where I'll remember a shot from the trailer and then halfway through the film I'll go, oh, we haven't seen that yet. Oh, that means this is going to happen. You know, it does spoil. It does always spoil it.
Well, before we've... Should I talk about the film I watched this week?
Yeah, why not? Let's talk about another film. Danielle had to leave early.
Out there at the Crouch End Art Cinema, Art House.
I hear it's the best one in London.
I did. The first time I went there, I didn't like it. And I did slag off because it's made of new paint. I went to down... I didn't realise there's an upstairs. They've got two screens.
Right.
And one's gone upstairs. And you go up there, there's hardly anyone there. And it's really great.
That's good.
So I really like it, actually. And it's £7 a ticket. Which is really, compared to the Odeon, which is...
That's good price.
Which is fair. So I went to see a film... I like my foreign art films.
Yeah?
I went to see a film called Leviathan, which is a Russian drama set in some sort of... peninsula near the sea, more sort of rural Russia.
Right.
It was funded by the art board. Basically, this guy... who's sort of he's a handyman and he's got a young wife after his previous wife died and a young kid, and his friend who from the army who's a lawyer comes down because the local council is trying to seize his house. He wants to just nick it and build a place there,
right?
And he's not been given the right money for it, and his just life just falls apart. It's nothing. It says here it's a modern reworking of the Book of Job. So there we go. If you know anything about the Book of Job.
Job, I think, isn't it?
Oh, he's Job. Oh, yes, you're right, Job. Or yeah. if you don't know anything about me, you'll call it Job.
Book Job.
It's just a story of one man's life that sort of encapsulates all the problems of the corruption of Russia.
Right.
The poverty, the police being corrupt.
I imagine it's a fascinating place to see, sort of...
And I've never seen... When I think of Russia, I always get the... You just think of Red Square and the same iconic things and the whole... You know, Stalin or
Moscow, basically. You only think of one city.
So you never really see anything outside it. I felt quite... It's nice watching a film when you think you're learning something about the society and you're feeling a sense of Russia I have not witnessed before.
Does it make Russia look depressing?
Yeah, it makes it really depressing. This film is bleak. Really bleak. But the acting is amazing. It feels... There's no real plot... It's not I think it's quite. I thought halfway through this is brilliant. Then it's really slow at the start.
Yeah.
You know, if film can you can change your mind about a film and it goes on too much. It goes on a bit. It's a bit long. It's almost like 2.5 hours long as me, and quite depressing. But if you want to see something a bit different with really interesting camera shots, and learn a bit about Russia and what. And I was surprised this came out of Russia because you get the impression that. You know, whether right or wrong, Putin's got a stranglehold on anything, and you know, and like when he literally robbed all the oligarchs of their money and took seized control of all the energy again. I was surprised to see something sort of quite anti-Russian government come out of there, all told in different ways. It's not told in political ways, it's almost like this one guy's story, who's not necessarily likable. None of the characters are necessarily likable. I just thought it was a fascinating cinema experience, really different. And I don't think it's being showed or screened or got big release in the UK because it was like one showing in the afternoon on a Monday. But if you want to see something a bit different and
it's worth seeing, despite its bleakness.
I thought it was fascinating. It's a bit long in places. It's one of those films like I said where you don't think I'm not necessarily enjoying watching this, but I mean I find it fascinating if what somewhat too slow in places.
Okay. Okay, Leviathan, how many Marics?
Seven Marics.
Seven Marics. It's a common score.
Sorry, that's it, isn't it? But if you want to...
Yeah, bit of a buffet of things this week. But we'll be back next week with yet more films. If you'd like to write to us, then please do. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com or go to Facebook.com/FilmFandango or tweet us at FilmFandango or at Mr. David Reed or at Marek Larwood. From last week, if you do have a picture of Mr. Turner you'd like to send us, then please do. We'll collect them all together.
We've got none yet.
We've got none. Let's be honest. Nobody's bothered. But it's early days yet because we record these in advance of release date, you see. So it's not been that long since we asked you to. But if you'd like to do that, do. Also, we do this absolutely free. So as you've probably noticed. So if you'd like to donate towards the running costs of the podcast to keep it going, then please do so. Go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there.
And thank you to the people who've donated so far. It's very kind of you. It's much appreciated. It just helps for the paying for the
everything,
putting this online and the other business,
all that stuff. So thank you. We'll be back next week with more films. Keep watching
the
films.
Keep watching the films.
Never stop.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.